You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Tim McMaster here, along with Steve Gilbert, our MLB.com D-backs reporter. And Steve, we have to start this podcast by talking about bullpen carts, I think. I don't think there's any other direction we can go with this, because the D-backs are bringing them back. And it's interesting, I say bringing them back, but they never had them before. The last time any known transportation device was known for bullpen arms, I believe, was 1995. The Brewers had a motorcycle with a sidecar. So we predate the D-backs, but as part of their 20-year, I guess, celebration, they're going to bring it back. This was something that was joked about a little bit and talked about as far as helping pace of play. What went into this decision for the D-backs to have a bullpen cart?
Well, kind of a fun fact before that, Tim, I actually worked in the Brewers public relations department from 95 to 97. So I do remember the Harley Davidson with the sidecar that used to come out. As I recall, most relievers did not use it, but it did come out every time that a reliever did. So this is something that's gotten a lot of attention nationwide. And in the Diamondbacks clubhouse, it's something what they thought would be kind of a unique thing to do. Kind of a throwback thing. And since there had been so much talk lately about the speed up rules and, you know, maybe they would bring bullpen carts back, I think the Diamondbacks kind of seized on that opportunity and kind of merged it with their 20th anniversary to kind of do a little bit of a throwback bullpen cart. So it's fun looking at the pictures with the big Diamondbacks hat on this golf cart and, you know, talking with some of the relievers about it. It was interesting to get their reactions. They all said, you know, they have to wait to see how it's set up before they decide if they're going to use it to come into game. But Andrew Chafin, a noted car guy, was excited because he said it would give him something to tinker with during a game. And he was convinced that he could somehow make that thing go 10 to 15 miles faster than it's supposed to. So that could be something to keep an eye on come opening day.
See if we can get a sound system in it as well and maybe some big speakers, all sorts of ideas. And I give credit to the bullpen guys because they also they seem to get excited about it on social media as well. A lot of these guys posted about it and the excitement and some fun pictures as well. So good stuff with the bullpen carts for the D-backs. Something to look forward to for the season that has nothing to do with the actual play on the field. Speaking of the bullpen, let's talk about the closer competition a little bit. It's wide open, according to Torrey Lovello. Brad Boxberger had some arm soreness, expected to pitch today. How is that, in your mind, shaping up as far as the closer battle?
You know, it seems a little early to tell just yet because Boxberger only made one appearance and then had what the team said was some general arm soreness. He is scheduled to pitch later this afternoon. So I think it's kind of a, you know, big outing to kind of get him back into the flow of things. Yoshi Hirano has looked a little rough in the first couple outings. I think it takes a little while probably to get a little settled into a new routine, a new country, and facing major league hitters for the first time, and all of that. I think that all probably plays a factor in it. And Archie Bradley has had probably the best results, I guess you could say. He did have one kind of hiccup in an outing where he was working on a changeup and things didn't go quite so well for him as far as command went. But I think certainly he seems to kind of be the front runner at this point, but it's really too early. And until we see Boxberger start to make some back-to-back appearances and start to get, you know, back into the flow of things, it's kind of hard to say at this point who really is a front runner or, you know, how that's all going to shake out. But it certainly is something to watch here the last few weeks of spring training.
Randall Delgado is making his way back from some elbow issues. Had the platelet-rich plasma last season. He threw on Monday in an intra-squad game. How is he feeling, and what's that progress?
Well, he said he felt great afterwards, and they were pleased with what they saw from him. He was kind of a big part of their bullpen last year. Kind of, you know, flew under the radar the first half of the season before he injured his elbow. They used him in a multiple roles. He actually was a spot starter at one time. He threw multiple innings out of the bullpen. He came in and got out of jams later in games. So losing him in that second half of the season was kind of a blow for them. So they're really hoping that he's able to come back and be healthy this year because, you know, he can do a bunch of different things. I think his days of starting at least this year are over given his, you know, arm issues last year. But he could certainly be a valuable multi-inning guy out of the bullpen or again be used to get out of a jam later in the game.
One of the big topics that we've talked about before on the podcast is the middle infield, obviously, and it's dominated your mailbag this week as well. Chris Owings, Nick Ahmed, Ketel Marte. Over the course of the last week, any changes as far as that breaks down? And in your eyes, the way this team is kind of viewing those slots and how those guys are going to pan out?
You know, they're letting each of those guys get some reps at shortstop, and Marte and Owings are also getting some reps at second base. It sure seems like, based on what we had heard, you know, during the offseason about possibly using Chris Owings in a jack-of-all-trades role, you know, playing third, short, second, as well as, you know, the corners in the outfield, that they were kind of leaning towards Ahmed as a starting shortstop and Marte at second. If I had to guess today, I'd say that's kind of how it will shake out. But I think that, certainly with 3 weeks left, 4 weeks left here in camp, there's still a lot to be decided, and I think, you know, performance could impact that, and certainly guys' health could impact that as well. So I think there's still some room there, some wiggle room there for somebody to step up and claim one of those spots. But I think if I had to guess today, I would probably say it would be Marte at second, Ahmed at short, and Chris Owings kind of getting his at-bats all over the field.
The D-backs made a move to add another veteran backstop this week. Anthony Recker signed. He's a guy that has always shown power, has never really gotten on base consistently, really some low averages over the years, mostly for the backup role for the most part. They already have two guys set, really, Jeff Mathis and Alex Avila. So how does Recker fit into things at this kind of late part of spring training?
Yeah, I think they're adding some depth to that position. They have, as you mentioned, Avila and Mathis, and they're also, you know, carried a third catcher last year and probably will again this year, depending on how the roster shakes out. But that could be Chris Herman. And so I think they're also looking for some depth. They have John Ryan Murphy as well, competing with Herman for that third spot. Both Herman and Murphy are out of options, so that is what kind of, I think, makes a guy like Recker attractive. They also have Josh Tolley. They've got a kid from their own system in camp as well. So they're just trying to have some depth so they know that they'll have that over the course of the season, or if, you know, they decide to only go with two catchers, that they'll be able to have somebody down there in case they do decide to go back out with three like they did last year.
I actually covered Anthony Recker in college, believe it or not. He went to a Division III school in Reading, PA, Alvernia College. Division III pitching, he used to hit just absolute blasts. I used to go shoot like the first three innings. He'd hit two homers. I'd have my highlights. I'd get back to the local news station to put him on the air. But he had power then, and he hit about 400. Obviously, that average has dropped quite a bit. But he has bounced around the big leagues, which is pretty good out of a guy who went to a Division III college. So Anthony Recker has always been an interesting story. You wonder why he picked a team like the D-backs that are so loaded up at the catcher spot, though.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk with him and ask him that. But, you know, maybe he sees that there is some good opportunity there, especially if they decide to start with two catchers at the start of the year and for some reason lose both Herman and John Ryan Murphy on waivers, that maybe they have a guy like Recker there. I'm not exactly sure what it was about that was so attractive to him.
Yeah, we will have to see. Well, when you do get a chance to talk to him, feel free to bring up Alvernia College and the little bandbox baseball field they play in Reading, Pennsylvania, Steve.
I will definitely do that.
All right. This has been MLB.com Extras, our D-backs edition. For Steve Gilbert, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.